heaven for you to come down. Come on, one more time. Spirit breaker.
Spirit breaker.
And break every wall down tonight, Lord. Holy Spirit. Every voice say heaven. Now while they play for just a moment, no singing, I want you to lift your voice and I want you to begin to thunder before the Lord. Come on, let everything that hath breath in this place, give him more than lip service, but really from your heart, let him know that he is the object of your affection. Nobody like you, Jesus. Huh. There's no one higher. Huh. Nobody like you, Jesus. Come on, I wish you'd lift him up, yeah. Somebody ought to get passionate about this part right here. Woo! And leave. Come on, do that. Do that bridge again. Come on, sing these words. Come on, this is scripture. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on
earth as it is in heaven.
Our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed. Come on, say it.
Lord, lead us not into temptation,
but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom, power, and
glory. Come on, what are we singing?
Woo!
Now with no music at all, let it be your amen in this room right now. You're saying amen, let the word of God be fulfilled in my life. Come on, somebody say, let the word of God be done in my school. Let the word of God be accomplished in my home. Let the word of God be accomplished in my family. Come on, let the word of God be accomplished in my mind. Let the word of God be accomplished in my spirit. Come on, let the word of God be alive in me. Amen. Oh, praise God. I feel the Holy Ghost down in my soul. Just like the Bible. Anybody else raised? I was raised on that song right there. I got the Holy Ghost. That's what I was raised in. Listen, some of you know I'm in North Carolina right now. Y'all are ready to go. I said I've been. Any young people know that? My soul, God, I don't plan on you playing. Don't worry. Oh, I like the Bible. Woo. Just like the Bible. Clap, give yourselves a hand. That was pretty good. That was pretty good. A lot of times we'd go from that right into, I've got it, I've got it. I don't care if you sing the same song, but I do care if you got it or not. I'm glad to be in a district where you got it. I'm glad to be in a district where we've got it. I'm turning your attention to the book of Psalms. I want to say a great big thank you to the Marshburns, the incredible job that they do, this beautiful church, to our great, I guess I should say Marshburn juniors and seniors that are here. Appreciate them, our youth president and his precious wife serving this district. I give a thanks to Brother Carroll, to this committee, for serving, to those here that have given sacrificially to Sheaves for Christ. I thank you on behalf of missions and ministry around the world. Retired missionary Dan Scott, we were talking about giving, and he said, oh, Brother Carson, he said, it's not giving until it's sacrificial. He said, you're giving out of abundance, you're lending out of abundance, were his words, until it becomes sacrificial, then it's biblically giving. I want to give the way he wants me to give, because I want to receive what he wants me to receive. Turning your attention to Psalms 27, I thank this music team for the incredible job that they've done, to those that are with excellence leading our media and our sound and our lighting and all of them. Thank you very much. I honor the great ministry pastors and leaders that are here, and to all the amazing young people. What a tremendous looking group. Handsome young men, beautiful young women gathered in here, apostolic and godly, and I appreciate your witness. Psalms chapter 27 is where I'm going to start, and then I'm going to jump to Psalm 119 for those of you that are interested in jumping ahead, for those of you that work paces and need to know where we're going. Psalm 27, verse 1. If you're there in your Bible, say amen. Amen. If you're looking at the Jumbotron, say, I'm cheating. I think the cheaters have it. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? He is my light. He is my salvation. Psalm 119, 105, and I'm reading through verse 112 so that you will know when your cue to be seated will come or how quickly it is coming. One of the most famous scriptures, I would say, verse 105 of the longest chapter. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The psalmist goes on to write, I have sworn and I will perform it, that I will keep thy righteous judgments. I'm afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. Accept, I beseech thee, the free will offerings of my mouth. Lord, teach me thy judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet do I not forget thy law. Watch this. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I erred not from thy precepts. Thy testimonies have I taken as an heritage forever, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. I have inclined mine heart to perform thy statutes always, even unto the end. From verse 5 and from verse 105 and 110, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In verse 10, the cognizant awareness that the wicked have laid a snare for me. I would preach to you as you are entering back into school this thought. I want to preach to you about a lamp and a light. A lamp and a light. I want you to throw your hands towards heaven And I want you to pray. Now, I'm going to ask you to do something that's a little unique, because for the first part of this prayer, I want you to repeat after me exactly. Okay? And then I'll release you to pray on your own with hands lifted. Repeat after me. Lord Jesus, help my mind to hear. Help my heart to receive the Word of God tonight. Make the soil of my heart ready to receive the seeds of the Word of the Lord. Help me to not only hear, but help me to be responsive tonight so that I can be responsive down the road. Now, in your own way, I want you to lift your voices all over this room, and I want you to pray as you would before you receive the Word of the Lord. Come on, I want you to lift your voice and call on the name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and clap your hands, everybody. If you haven't warmed them up yet, warm them up and get them prepared for response to the Word of the Lord. Yes. Amen. Now, I want you to turn to your neighbor. I want you to smile so big they see every tooth you own legally. And I want you to tell them, I guess he's preaching about a lamp and a light. Turn to your other neighbor and smile long enough it almost feels awkward. Guys, some of you, this is your opportunity. Now tell them, I guess he's going to preach about a lamp and a light. Thank you. And Lord bless you, you may be seated. How many of you have already started back to school? Raise your hand. That's what I figured. Is there anybody here who has not yet started? Are you homeschooled? I saw a bunch of them put their hand down. Well, call us in October when you begin. Just teasing. But really. Many of you have been in incredible services this year. You've been to special conferences. You've been to powerful services in your own church. You've been to convention, maybe been to camp. You've made powerful commitments, powerful services. I have found that quite often we spend time in these services talking to you about the weight and the sin which so easily beset you. You have heard these messages many times before about the things that you take unto yourself, and Pastor Marshburn, the things that I willingly would go after. To our youth leadership, we know that we have spent many times standing in pulpits and preaching to our young people while really preaching to ourselves first about the fact that there are sin that we pick up and weights that we hold on to. But I want to tell you, as you are entering into this school year, while we often talk to you about weights and sins that you somewhat seem to pick up of your own accord and take on by yourself, that regardless of how well you may be trying to live, the enemy has intentionally set snares for your life. I'm going to say that again. I'm not talking about you going looking for sin. I'm telling you that the enemy is setting snares to destroy you. The objective of the enemy has never changed. He desires to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He wants to kill your opportunity. He wants to steal your joy. He wants to destroy any chance you would have at a ministry. And there are snares, there are traps that have been set for you. It's important that we recognize this, because lest we understand that there are snares strategically set for you, then we will not keep ourselves aware in times when we think we could be comfortable. Let me start by telling you this. There are no off days in living for God. Amen. There are no off days in living for God, because there is a snare that is set for you. It is devastating to me that while a phone fills the pocket of most in this room, we are able to look to the reality that currently those with any kind of a smartphone, it was NannyNet that earlier this year released the data that 97% of our young men are viewing or have recently viewed pornographic material. And for the first time, upwards of 70% of our teenage young ladies have seen or viewed pornographic material. I'm not talking about you went looking for things. I'm talking about you accidentally typed one wrong letter in a common website, and because you forgot the E or you typed an A instead of an I, there was a snare that was set for you. A link that someone had sent to you and you recognized the name, but when you clicked on the link, you did not understand the dark hole that it was going to lead you down. And setting before me right now, some a little more squirmish than others, are those that have felt the sting of this sinful trap that has been left. And while I'm not preaching primarily about pornography tonight, I'm using it as the most vivid and most universal snare that is attacking our young people right now. This is why, because this snare is tied to identity, and the identity is something that is being attacked through self-deprivation. There is an occurrence right now of destroying the psyche of one another in our young generation, and that has happened because we are pitting ourselves one against another, not because we have gone looking for it, but because snares of jealousy and comparison have been set for us. I want to start this message, and I don't need you to clap for this. I just need you to hear it. If you want to respond, that's fine, but I want you to hear it. But more importantly than anything, I just want to get it into the atmosphere in case any devil has tried to show up in this place tonight. And I want the atmosphere to know that we will not settle for living our lives in this apostolic youth generation to be the same way as the world's custom and the ideologies of the kingdoms of this world. I recognize that there is a prince of the air, but there is also a prince of peace, and his name is Jesus, and he has set at liberty the captive. He has set at liberty every young man and every young lady who wants his help. Somebody shout amen. And so I'm coming to tell you tonight that you are able to do whatever you desire to do in the kingdom of God. I will never forget when I was just a young man, school age. We showed up to school one day, and Brother Marshman, while we were out there or in our classrooms gathered in, I looked out the window to the back lot because I was thinking about recess. You know why? Because I'm normal. How many of you walked into homeroom thinking about recess when you were a kid? Come on, you lie, you fry. Looked out there at that backfield, and when I looked out at that backfield, there were all these circles of orange. I didn't know what it was at the time. Now I know it was snow fencing. There was no snow. Didn't understand what that was about until we started to go out for recess, and the teacher told us, she said, now wherever you do, whatever you play, you stay away from the orange fencing. You don't get close to the orange fence. What I do? Hey man, let's go check out this fence. I walked right up to the edge, but about the time I got right up to the edge, I saw why she didn't want us to go close. There was about a foot of grass on the other side of that fence. They had brought it out from the perimeter, but overnight, sinkholes had dropped out. That's what I said. By the end of the week, that's anointing. By the end of the week, 7 sinkholes, Pastor, had fallen out all over that field. I'm talking large, big enough to fit a car in, sinkholes. Because while it looked good on the surface, there was nothing, no depth of earth underneath. Oftentimes this is because some kind of natural running water under the ground and erosion that occurs, and the density of the soil was not complex enough to hold it, and the ground had literally given way. It was letting go along the way. It had given way. No one could see it, but it fell out. I want to help you with what I'm going to preach to you, and I appreciate you allowing me a little time getting into this. But I would tell you that at any point in the average life, if you're not careful, a hole, a sinkhole, a snare, not just something to trap you in overnight, but I'm talking something that'll trap you for years. If we'd be honest, there's a lot of adults that we come in contact with on a regular basis that their ministry's a quarter of what it could have been if they wouldn't have fell into a sinkhole or got caught in a snare 20 or 30 years ago. I'm reaching to the future you tonight, and I'm preaching for the future you tonight when I tell you that we need to examine the psalmist. All of my life I have looked and I have heard this particular portion. I've quoted it countless times. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And the book of Psalms is full of parallelisms where it's tied together and they work and they correspond one with another. I called one of my dear friends who is a great preacher. If I said his name, he's preached most of our camps, conferences, youth congresses. Called him. I said, I've got to tell you, I've been studying on this verse and the Lord has just been wearing me out about it. And he said, you know, Joshua, I've only just seen it as a light, just like a lot of the parallels of the Psalms. And I begin to explain it to him and ask him to judge me upon it, and I begin to study, and the Lord has been convicting me to preach it to some of our young people that are going back into school. And so if you will allow me, I will preach to you from this text tonight and tell you that in this scripture the psalmist is declaring with a certainty there is a difference between a lamp and a light. In fact, the Hebrew words that are utilized in this, and that doesn't impress any of you, but it gives you the ability to study it if you want to. But there is a feminine usage used here with lamp and the masculine when it comes to light. And let me give you a brief overview and tell you the light is basically out of your control. When he's talking about a light for your path, the psalmist is looking at you and saying that you are able to look down the road and you are able to look at the path which is to come. You are able to speak to the future. And in fact, I would preach to support every pastor in this district and tell you, you need a man of God that can turn the lights on for you and can come in and can preach to you about where we're going. I will tell you this, I thank God for where we've been, but I thank God for preachers with a revival mindset who will stand behind the sacred desk and shed the light on where we are going. Thank God, if not for that, we wouldn't get there. But there is a light that is shed upon where we are going. But I've got to tell you also tonight, because of the mass revival and healings and signs and wonders that we are seeing not only across North America, but across the globe, we better get it into our minds. And young people, we better lock it into our spirits. Our day is not coming. Our day is this day. I said, our day is this day. today. We have never seen the likes of revival that is happening in the church right now. So if you're not winning souls, I would ask you, what's the problem? There will not be a better time to become a soul winner for the kingdom of God. If you're not teaching Bible studies, if you haven't started a P7 club, if you don't have a chapter going on your campus, if you haven't told your neighbors about God, what are you waiting on? This is the day and this is the hour. Why don't you just point at your neighbor and tell him he's preaching to you? If they're sitting down, preach, tell them, you know, he's really preaching to you. What is a light? I tell you what a light is. A light is uncontrollable. It's speaking here as if it were to be the sun, the light of the day. It's telling me and directing me where I'm going. And I will tell you, we need those messages. And I've preached a lot of them. And I thank God for our leadership that has preaching about where we are going. I will tell you that 34,151 gathering into a football stadium in Indianapolis and literally taking the ear of North America, not just the church world, but everybody that's holding a business and a convention and the people. It were the police department there in that city of Indianapolis that when we were trying to leave that city, the police department came to our leadership and said we had given up on this generation. We talk all the time that we had given up on this generation, but Brother Douglas, they said when we saw your group, when we watched the way that these young people act, it began to turn our hope again. If you're not a part of this with a vibrance and with a zeal and with an enthusiasm, you ought to shake yourself and ask yourself, what's wrong with me? There has never been a greater hour to be a part of the church. And I would shine the light for you tonight. And I would tell you, I think we've just tipped the iceberg. I think there are greater things ahead of us than what we have ever seen before. There is in your heart and in your hands miracles and signs and wonders that are being released right now. A couple of weeks ago at a camp, there was a young man at a camp that came down the middle aisle. They were having miracles and signs and wonders. My friend Brother Herring called me. He said, bro, you're not going to believe this. He said, you got to hear it. He said he walked in, there were signs, kids were getting the Holy Ghost, and I felt the call for healing. And when I did, he got up and tried to make his way down the middle aisle. His little twisted body, sick from birth. He couldn't make it all the way down. He can't walk. He slid about a quarter of the way down onto the right side. And you know, like kids do, like moths to a flame, Brother Carroll, they came in around him and they started laying hands on him. About 5 minutes in, one or two of them walked away. About 10 minutes in, three or four more walked away. They said by about 12 to 15 minutes in, everybody had begun to dissipate, but he was back there holding on. He was just shaking back and forth. He said, I wish you could have been there about 20 minutes into that prayer when his little twisted body let out a scream from the middle aisle and he jumped up on his feet and began to run circles around that sanctuary. I'm not talking about a God that used to. I'm talking about a God that is. I'm not just talking about a God that was. I'm talking about Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. 2 weeks ago, I had a friend diagnosed with cancer, calcified tumor on the throat. I was sitting in a restaurant, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me and said, don't go home, get up and go to their house from the restaurant. I had my wife call ahead. We drove straight to their home. They were nice enough to open up, and I know it was nighttime, and we weren't in suits, and nobody was in the church, and there wasn't no great Sister Marshburn singing us into the Holy Ghost. None of that was happening. I just walked in and said the same thing I'll say tonight. By the authority of the Word of God and the power of the name Jesus, I'm going off of what you spoke to me sitting in the restaurant. sitting in the restaurant yesterday, he came up to me and said, I went in for my checkup, and the doctor started looking, and then he looked again, and then he looked again and did another scan and said, I can't find any calcification. And they drew and took a biopsy and said, I don't know what you're nervous about. There's no cancer in your throat at all. I'm telling you, this is the greatest hour for the church. There's no reason you can't lay hands on one of your friends right in the middle of the school parking lot. Let me shake your faith a little bit. One of my favorite youth events I've ever done, we loaded up the shuttle bus, didn't tell anybody where we were going, and we pulled onto the high school parking lot. I went to preaching. I mean, that shuttle bus was packed full. They were sitting down the sides. They were standing in the middle. I was preaching with everything I had. They were rocking that big old shuttle bus back and forth, worshiping and praising. And then I said, we're going to take this high school in Jesus' name. We came piling down out off of that shuttle. What I did not know, Brother Carson, because they were so packed in there, I did not know that there was a sweet little girl that was a visitor that night. She came walking kind of trembling down off the bus. You know, kind of those, what have I got myself into? What maybe a couple of you visitors might be thinking now. She came walking down off that bus. What have I got myself into? And we got them circled up in that parking lot. And I said, we keep talking about winning them. We keep preaching about winning them. But at some point, we're going to have to recognize this is spiritual warfare. We're going to have to take authority and dominion over. Does anybody believe that? This is not just playing church, but this is spiritual warfare. And this is taking dominion and authority. My God, I feel the angel of the Lord in this room right now. They circled up and began to pray. And I was going around. I was laying hands on everybody. If you know me very well, I'm going to probably take you to Palmville if I get the chance. And I was working my way. And finally, I got around and it hit me again. There's this visitor. And I reached in. I said, Alicia, I'm glad that you're here tonight. She said, I'm glad I'm here too. I could tell she was already feeling God. I said, what you're feeling, and what I would tell everybody that might be a visitor here tonight, what you're feeling is the Holy Ghost. It is the Spirit of God that is desiring to live inside of you. Woo. I said, I'm going to lay hands upon you. And when I lay hands on your head, just like the Bible says, you're going to receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And when you do, you're going to know, you're going to speak another language. You're going to begin to speak another language. Now listen, speaking in tongues is not the Holy Ghost. Speaking in tongues is, however, the biblical evidence of the Holy Ghost. Why does that need to happen? It is a dramatic conversion. It is the principles of a dramatic conversion. The Jewish Christians would never have accepted the Gentile Christians into the church were it not for the dramatic conversion of Acts 10. They needed to speak in a way. Listen, you need to speak in a new language, in tongues, every single day. Well, how's that happen? When the Holy Ghost fills you, you will. You don't need to make it up. Nobody will force it on you. Brother Chavis, nobody going to get in your ear and tell you what to say. You speak in tongues, and it'll be a language you never cussed anybody out in. It'll be a language you never talked back to your mama in. It'll be the same kind of language that in Acts chapter 2, they said they heard them magnifying and exalting God, every man out of his own language. And so I looked at Alicia and said, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost if you want it. She lifted up those little hands, that 5'3 stature, and her little eyes began to let big tears drip down off her cheeks. And it wasn't no time flat. Right there in the high school parking lot, we got it started. Alicia threw her head back and started speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. You know what I'm doing? I'm casting a little light right now. I'm telling you, your high school ought to have that kind of revival. I'm talking about the prom queen praying through. I'm talking about the varsity shortstop getting the Holy Ghost. Quit being intimidated. You are full of the power of the Holy Ghost. If you're back into school and you have battled intimidation, you have made pledges and commitments this year, but you're back into school and you feel that old subtle devil called intimidation, I want you to throw your hands towards heaven right now. Don't lie in the room right now. Be as honest as you can. You know you're called to be a soul winner. It's about 80% of this room. If you haven't won a soul, if you haven't taught a Bible study in the last couple months, I'm talking to you right now. Because I know you haven't been 2 months without him challenging you too. Lift your hands right now. I know you've been praying for boldness, but I'm going to turn some light on this right now. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that a boldness and an authority would come into the heart and the mind of every young person that is honest enough to identify. Every young adult that would say, God, if I'm ever going to be a soul winner, I need you to baptize me with boldness. Somebody say no! I cannot wait until I get halfway through the school year. I cannot wait until another one of my friends takes their life. I cannot wait until another senior hire commits suicide because of some lousy breakup. I gotta reach them now! Oh, lift your voice, everyone, and just thunder for a moment. Let me cast a little bit more light. Let me turn some light on that you have nothing to do with, but if you'll hear it, it'll be true. Let me cast some light on the path right now. If you desire it, this will be the greatest school year you have ever had. This will be the year where you watch your friends come to church and get buried in the name of Jesus. Come up out of the water and their lives will be different. Either we believe it or we don't believe it, and this preacher believes it. I believe that you can see your friends this year, this semester, talking in tongues, filled with the Holy Ghost, living a new life, being called into the church. You may be seated. Jeremy was the roughest kid in our town. I had moved to a new town, somehow struck up a conversation, ended up in a relationship. He was the toughest kid in our town. Jeremy was the kid that there was no pushing in the fight. You know, everybody, unfortunately, you've probably seen a fight at school if you go to public school, and you know how it starts. It starts with jabbering, and then it goes to pushing, and then every now and then someone will throw a punch. Jeremy skipped steps 1 and 2. On more than one occasion, it's still burned in my memory from my childhood, that I watched Jeremy walk up to someone that he had heard had been talking about him. Brother Carson, there was no talking. There was no pushing. By the time he could lunge within arm shot, I watched him on more than one occasion get to here. And this kid still thinks we're going to talk about this. No talking. Jeremy, I don't know what happened, but I invited him to church. Tough, him and Danny, tough and rough kids. I'm talking, they were some kind of a mess. I just got to be honest. Invited Jeremy, and Jeremy came to church. And I was expecting the night that he came that it was just a Wednesday night service that night that he came. First service on a Wednesday night. And I sincerely expected that it would be calm. Ethan, I didn't think there'd be much to the service, truthfully. And all of a sudden, Sister So-and-So, with her war hoop. I didn't see it coming. You know the person I'm talking about, right? The person that you've heard them do it 100 times, but it still scares you every time they do it. You know, you're just sitting there minding your own business, and all of a sudden, from out of nowhere, woo! The devil is a liar. But you know, there's always something about that certain sister. It's like a match to dry wood, you know, and something catches on. And man, it started moving. And I did what any kid in my scenario would do. I was praying, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. Jesus, 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 Jesus. And it kind of calmed down just a little bit. Calmed down enough that they were able to get to the offering. When they got to the offering, I looked over and Jeremy was gone. I mean, gone. I thought, man, he's went to the bathroom. And then I thought, he didn't come back a couple minutes later. I thought, man, he left. And then about 5 minutes later, he still hadn't came back. And I thought, oh my God, he's still in the offering. That's what he's doing. This is true. I thought he was still in the offering. It hit me. I went into a nervous sweat. I was like, I'm going to be called in the pastor's office. My parents are going to get on to it. Like, I stole it. I didn't do anything. So I got up, kind of nervous. What am I going to say to the guy? I knew I had to stay at least an arm length away when I accused him. And when I walked back in this little country church on a Wednesday night Bible study that I didn't think a single thing was happening, I went back and Jeremy was leaned over their ledge. There was a ledge that looked down over our stairs like this, and I kind of came up from behind on the side and he was leaned over this ledge, and I thought, he must be thinking this church is crazy. He wants to get out of here. And when I came up and I heard, this is the toughest dude I knew in the whole town. I said, Jeremy? Jeremy. When I touched his shoulder, he turned. Had big old warm tears dripping down off of his cheeks. His face was wet, and he kind of did this. And he looked at me, and I'll never forget. It's burned into my memory 20-some years later when Jeremy turned and looked at me. And he said, I've never felt that before. It was a Wednesday night. By all accounts, if you would have asked me up until that point, I'd have told you nothing has happened. But could it be that we're in his presence so much that we hear enough preaching, that we hear enough good singing, that nothing happens? Jeremy got on a string of coming. I never knew what happened with him. We moved away, lost touch. Last year, I was walking downtown Chicago while at an event. I pulled out my phone. I had an email alert walking the streets of Chicago, and a 20-plus year old message was on there. Hey, Josh, don't know if you would even remember, but when we were kids and you invited me into that Pentecostal church, you would have never known it, but I was going back home and cooking drugs with my parents. I was cooking drugs with them because it was the only way that we connected. You would have never known this, Josh, but after you moved away, they came and they hauled my family off. But it's important. I have found out where you're at and how to get an email to you simply to let you know the little seed that you planted into my life when I was a teenager is now being produced in the lives of my own children as I faithfully serve in the church. What are you saying? I'm telling you this. I don't care if they're the roughest, toughest, baddest dude in your school. Want to see the prom queen pray through? I have. Want to see the varsity shortstop pray through? I have. Want to see the toughest kid in your school pray through? Come on, quit letting the devil intimidate you. I'm going to cast a little light on your future. If you want it, you can have it. But you got to get serious about this. You got to get passionate about this gospel. And you got to get passionate about the call of God on your life. Young men and young ladies, hear me now. We don't need you to be preachers down the road. We need you to become called to the mission field now. We need you to feel your call to preach now. We need you to feel your call to the authority of God now. Turn to a couple people and just tell them you got to do it now. You know what? Let's do this. Find somebody you haven't talked to yet and put on your best preacher's voice and tell them you ought to do something now. Woo! Maybe see. But I've got to be honest. I think we're doing pretty good with the light thing. We're doing pretty good with the light. The light's not really our issue. But the psalmist said, before you focus in on the light, you need to consider that his word is meant to be a lamp. Anybody in here a hunter? You hunt, you spend time in the woods, you're in North Carolina. You better, man, I feel a witness on the platform. Get those lights for me, if you will. I just want to try to display this just a little bit. When it's reading here, turn those lights off for me, please, if you will. I've never been in the dark before. Okay, now look at me. Look up here. Where are you? Okay. I brought a New Testament torch with me. Turn your phone off. Brought a New Testament torch with me here. Turn your phone off. Okay. Now, how many of you have ever been walking? Those of you that said this, maybe you haven't. Don't have to be a hunter, but you've been in the woods or maybe you've been outside. How many of you ever taken your flashlight and you point it up like this because you're looking where you're going? How many have ever done the trip on a stick at your feet because you're looking where you're going? Yeah, I felt, okay. Turn those lights on for me, and we're going to turn them right back off, but just be ready, okay? So everybody knows what I'm talking about when I say the trip on the, because you're pointing ahead, you're looking where you're going, and you yell at the stick like it's the stick's fault. Stupid stick. How many of you preachers ever been going up the steps? And you got to turn. You ever seen your pastor do that? Don't raise your hand. Sometimes a preacher will do that and then try to turn it into a cool little. Come on, you've done it at school. Going up the stairs and tripped and tried to. How many of you ever turned and looked at the steps like it was the steps? I don't think those aren't even regulation. turn those lights out. He said, yeah, the word of God will be a light for your path. But the first thing that the psalmist said is it needs to be a lamp for your feet. Because where you're going is determined by if you can navigate where you are. Because how are you going to get... Pastor, you can preach all night long about the revival coming to this church, but unless I address my sure-footedness... Unless I address where I'm at right now, I know what's in my future. I just can't handle what's at my feet. Because we are so used to living our lives trying to be a light in the darkness that we have stopped putting the light back on ourselves. Here's what's happening if we're not careful. And it's been happening for years if we don't start addressing it and being honest about it. While we're busy trying to cast the light for the future, we have a bunch of teenagers that are ending up face down on the ground on top of them. Keep having to try to get up and refocus again. Because as long as I look like I'm in church and I look towards the future, and when he talks about youth group revival, I'll shout, and when they call choir practice, I'll show up and I'll keep it here. But I don't ever want this light to actually be on my own feet, because if I get it onto my own feet, you'll know who I'm texting at 2 a.m. I don't want the lights on for a minute just so I can say a couple things I need to say. When you shine the light at your feet, this is not about a light that you can't control. This is the feminine of the Hebrew. This is the Old Testament of the lamp. It's also referred to as the torch. But either way, it is about the oil and the wick. It is about the clay and the construction. It is about the part of the element that is up to you. It doesn't matter how many times your pastor holds up this old black book filled with these incredible books inside and preaches to you the word of life and looks like he's telling you some ghost time story on the side. This is for more than your entertainment. Yeah. I'm not talking about can you see where you're going. I'm talking about somebody that'll get excited about the fact that I know he's with me right where I am right now. Pastor, you can't shed light on my right now. That's up to me. I thank God for where we're going, but I'm not depressed about where we are. I'm not depressed about where I'm living. No, everything might not be perfect, and I might not be everything I want to be, but you better hear me right now. It could be a lot worse, but God is helping me with my footing. Turn those lights on for me right now, if you will. I want you to look at the second slide on here. I told you about a light, but I want you to recognize that when it comes to the lamp, there are things that are upon us. And so I'm preaching to every young man, and I'm preaching to every young lady in this room. The psalmist said, "Thy entrance of thy word gives light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23 reads like this. For the commandment is a lamp, and law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life. I need the light, but I gotta have the lamp. I'm gonna tell you what I'm preaching. When you walk back into your school, take your gifting, take your smile, take your well-dressed, but take your Bible, take your sword, take your word, take your Bible study, and recognize that if I'm going to make it anywhere in the kingdom of God, I better shine some light on my feet and recognize whether or not my sure-footedness is going to get me where I need to be. You cannot go a day without devotion. I'm going to say it again. You cannot go a day without devotion, because your personal devotion will keep you when the praise team isn't there to sing you into a lather. Your personal devotion will keep you when nobody else is around to encourage you. Every morning, every apostolic young person ought to get up, and the first thing you do is say, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." You ought to get up acknowledging him. In him we live, in him we move, in him we have our being. You ought to, let me tell you something else. You ought to put the cell phone down and pick that old Bible back up. There's enough studies that show you're going to rush through it in this, but you'll take your time with this book. I want you to throw your hands towards heaven, and I want you to lift your voice, and I want you to make this a clarion prayer, a clarion call right now. Repeat after me, God, baptize my brain with a love for the Word of God. Woo! God, baptize my brain with a love for the Word of God. God, baptize my heart with a love for the Word of God. Now I want you to say amen if you feel that way and you really believe it. Yeah, but Brother Carroll, I can't read the Bible because I don't understand it. I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. Then God forbid you get a translation you can understand and go back and forth. Well, that would take too much time. I don't think it's okay to binge watch on Netflix but act like you can't spend 30 minutes in the Word. And if you don't like that, I feel like I'm preaching to you under the authority of the Holy Ghost. We do not need thumbsuckers. We need apostolic revivalists that will rise to the occasion in this hour. I know you've got the Word of God from a distance, and I know you've got the floodlight like a lighthouse coming across your pulpit, but is that light that's coming and guiding to your path, is it being opened up and starting a night light in your home? I don't have time to preach it, but I could preach to you from the example of Samuel in the early church, that Samuel knew how to do church in the dark. He knew how to work around the church. The light had gone out. The lamp was out. He could find his way into Eli multiple times. The lamp was out. It was dark. He knew his way around church in the dark, but he just didn't know the voice of God. I'm on a mission for us to not only know how to do church, but us to get open the Word of God and us to have the answers. The reason most of us don't witness, listen, hear this right now. The reason the average young person does not witness is because they are intimidated by the questions that might be asked. And they're intimidated by the questions that might be asked because they do not have adequate resource. And they do not have adequate resource because they do not spend adequate time in His Word. There is a seismic shift that is occurring right now where we are not only accepting our love for God's house, but we are being rebaptized with a love for God's Word. I don't just love it because you preach it, but what you preach and what I've been reading, they get in alignment so I can see more clearly to get myself. All you keep talking about is the future, but I'm finding step by step my presence and keeps getting closer to the future that you have been preaching about. My God, throw your hands up again and say, God, baptize my brain with a love for the Word of God. Come on, I want everybody to pray in your own way. I want you to pray about a love for the Word. I want you to pray that God would give you a love for the Word. My dear brother asked me a few minutes ago before I started preaching if I was related to another brother so-and-so named Carson. And the truth is, you won't find a preacher related to me whose last name is Carson. And that's not because I don't come from a good family. I come from a good family. I come from a family who loves God. But I'm going to tell you, there was a turning point when I was 16 years old. God had called me to preach and I knew it. And I'll never forget the day. I wish you could see in the eyes of my mom. They got as big as saucers. I had begged for a television in my room. I wanted a TV set in my room so bad. I had a TV that was bigger and weighed more than this monitor right here. And I come walking down. My back was straining. I wish you could have seen her face, her expression, when I set that thing up on the counter in the kitchen. And my mom, she knew I had begged for that in my room. She said, "What are you doing?" And I said, "Mom, I know I asked you for this, but God has called me to preach. And I'm able to identify that at this point in my life, I can't handle that and this in the same room because I don't know how to give time to this because of that." Now, you might not like what I'm preaching right here, and if you want to, you tune it out. But I can tell you a big reason of why I'm standing here preaching to you is because I'd get at an old wooden desk in the corner of that room, 16 years old, and when I didn't understand it, I'd read it again and again and again and again, and then I'd ask questions about it. I got an old Bible that I just tore up in the corner of that room. It still sits in my bedroom to this day. It sits right there next to my bed. If you'd pick it up, the pages would fall out of it. The binding isn't good enough to hold on to the time I spent in it. I preached my first message from that Bible. Never forget who's on board and just have faith in God. It wasn't much of a message, but it was anointed 3 or 4 minutes. I'm gonna tell you. And here's why. Because I fell in love with the Word of God. I'm glad you can sing good, but do you love the Word of God? I'm glad that you can play an instrument, but do you love the Word of God? I'm not asking your talents or your abilities. I'm asking you, do you have a lamp at your feet when the preacher has a light for your path? I think you know what I want you to pray. Throw your hands towards heaven and ask God, baptize my brain with a lot for the Word of God. I ought to hear every young person's voice. I ought to hear every young adult. We can't send you back into school unarmed. We can't send you back into school on your talents. I thank God for great churches. I thank God for amazing projection systems. I thank God for talented musicians. But I've got to be honest with you, a lot of churches have got that. But there's a difference in most youth groups than ours. While they're gathering for fun nights every week and weekend, amen. We ought to be coming together saying, give me more of the word. Give me more of the word. I'm hungry for the word of God. Proverbs 16:9, be seated or stand, but let me preach this. The heart of a man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. Jeremiah 10:23, I know, O Lord, that the way of a man is not in himself, that it is not in man who walks to direct his steps. Isaiah 48:17, thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am your Lord God, which teacheth thee to profit, and which leadeth thee by the way that thou should go. How do I find out how to navigate in a social structure that doesn't even have gender identity figured out? I'm going to tell you how I find out. I get myself in the Word, and I shed light on it when it tries to creep into the church that homosexuality is okay. I'm not coming up with my answer. I'm going to love every person I meet, but I'm going to love them enough to turn the light on and say, if we don't get the light turned on our feet. You ask any sprinter out there, whether they are a novice or a professional, and they'll tell you that where they're at most often at the end of the race determines on how they come out of the blocks. Any sprinter out there, if you've ever seen it and watched them get down and they figure their hands and you'll see them get down into the blocks and then get back up again and shake their legs, and they've got an exact precise structure, and some of them will walk a certain way and step back and step forward. They've got this process down because they know that where I'm heading is dependent upon how I start. Why are you preaching this, Brother Carson? I'm not as concerned about right now as I am about your November. I'm very concerned on how many Bible studies you will have taught by the time you head on Christmas break. I'm very excited to believe that there's a group of young people in this room that would say, I'm not just zealous, I'm not just emotional, but I'm going to let the Word of God direct every one of my steps. Can I just preach old-fashioned for a moment? The Word of God will give you a love for holiness. The Word of God will give you a love for doctrine. The Word of God will keep... Pastor, when I fall in love with the Word of God for myself, you don't have to convince me every Sunday to pray back through and try to live for God. Youth President, when I love the Word of God for myself, you don't have to spend every one of your opening messages trying to get me to preach back through. Youth Pastor, when I love the Word of God for myself, you don't constantly have to keep preaching the same kind of messages you should be teaching to new converts, to me who's been in this for my whole... Come on, I'm calling for anybody that says, God, baptize my brain, baptize my heart with a love for the Word of God. Somebody like Paul that would say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Proverbs had told us that. John chapter 1. Come on, if you're in Pentecost, you ought to know something about John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Why don't you just read these out loud with me? Verse 3. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. Verse 5. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Hear me now. There is a separation right now. We've heard it our whole lives. A separation for His namesake is occurring. There are universities that have been widely accepted, even amongst our apostolics that have been going. They're not apostolic, but our students have used them for years. As of already this fall, I know two different universities that have kicked oneness students and oneness believers off their campus. So what about in the time when the light shines in the darkness? I'm going to tell you what happens. What that means, the darkness could not overtake it. Turn all those lights out one more time. Because I don't care how small the lighting is, I don't care how little it seems like the light might be. It doesn't take much in a room filled with hundreds, and you turn all the, all it takes is just a, all it takes is just a little light in the one. Hatayende rebokosata, hiede bokosataya. Quit being bashful. Quit being backward. Quit thinking that you're not ready to go on the offensive for the kingdom of God, because I'm telling you that God is shining a light on you and expecting. Listen, what happens? Turn that light on one more time. When you shine the light on your feet, this is what happens to the environment. You start getting in. God, I feel it right now. You start getting in agreement, not only with what your pastor's been preaching, but with what the Word has been telling and what the atmosphere has been declaring. John chapter 8 verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you can get a little bit of light on your feet, you can keep a lot of light in your life. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. Come on. You've heard it quoted at every camp you've been to. Ye are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation and a peculiar people. This is why, that you may show forth the praises. Pastor, you told about it the whole beginning of the service. Why am I showing his praises? Because he called me out of darkness. Is any young person in here still excited? I was on my way to hell. I was in darkness, but he called me out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Throw your hands towards heaven and somebody shout it out right now. God, baptize my breath. Baptize me with a love for the Word. Oh, I feel that right there. I feel the despair. I feel the hunger. I feel the desire. I want to love it. 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 The best thing you might could do is go off Instagram for the next month and try to memorize a few chapters. The best thing you might do is give up on watching any shows for the next month. I got to... There's light. There's light at this altar right now. He andarebo kosata. He erebo sondoye. He ananamaki erebo sotoe. Don't be conformed, is what he said. Be rather transformed by the renewing of your mind. Why do you keep asking us to baptize? God, baptize my brain. We need a renewing. There's a slew of young men and young women in this room that are called to preach. There's a slew in here that are called into the ministry. If you're going to be in the praise team, you better fall in love with the Word. If you're going to be in the youth choir, you better fall in love with the Word. We don't need any music for a little bit right now, but I'm looking for young men and young women. When you carry yourself up here, I want you to leave your distractions in your seat. see some faces that get buried in the carpet. There's a snare laid for you. There's a snare laid for your mind. There's a snare laid for your ministry. For some of you, it's a young lady you've been talking to or a young man that's already caught your eye. There's a snare laid for you. You ought to come to this altar and you ought to hit your knees and you ought to cry some warm tears onto this carpet and you ought to ask God to baptize your mind with the love.
Anything for a while.
This is just the start. We're going to pray wave after wave after wave in this altar. If you're not praying hard, somehow you're not tapped into this. I want you to throw your hands up and tap into this. God, rid my mind of every distraction. In fact, I would ask that everybody in this room spend a little time in repentance. Forgive me for every wrong thought. Forgive me for every wrong motive. Forgive me for every divisive word and thought. Forgive me of things I've even forgotten that I've done or did not acknowledge. I don't want anything. I don't want anything in between me and you. I don't want anything in between my ministry and what you're calling. I don't want anything between this and the call. I can't keep getting caught up and tripped up and laid into the snare. I'm going to keep falling into this snare unless I get this lamp. I get this lamp. If you don't know what else to pray, I want you to pray it over and over again. Give me a love. Give me a love for the Word of God. Give me a love for the Word of God. Give me a love for the memorization of the Word. Give me a love for the application of the Word. Give me a love for the understanding of the Word. Give me the love to rightly divide the Word of truth. I know you're a teenager. I know you're just in junior high. I know you're just in high school. Come on, I know you're just a freshman in college, but do you have a love? I'm not even asking if you're a Bible quizzer. I'm not asking if you know how to retain scripture. I'm asking if you have a love for the Word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation. How sweet are thy words unto my mouth. Yea, sweeter than honeycomb. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Come on, when you open it up, when you open up in prayer of love for the Word, that Word will begin to mix every message you've heard, every message that's ever been preached into your psyche and into your spirit, everything that's ever got into your mind and into your heart. It'll begin to come up, and right now some of you are going to begin to replay messages and re-quote scriptures in your mind. That light's going to begin to illuminate, and when it does, it will show you the things in your life that are not pleasing before God. That's it. Come on now, I want everybody to find somebody else. And I don't want you to pray a weak prayer. Come on, we're about to go somewhere intentional in this. But before we go there, I want everybody to find someone right now. And I want you to take them by the hand. And I want you to begin to pray over them like their soul depends on it. I want you to recognize right now, you are not a body with a soul. You are a soul with a body. Your body is temporary for a little while. And while your flesh might deny, your soul is longing for the Word of God. Come on, pray over one another. Give them a love for the Word of God. Come on, young men. Come on, young ladies. Come on, we need your ministry. We need your voice. We need your apostolic voice in this hour. Pray a love for the Word. Pray a love for the Word. Pray a love for the Word. Come on, somebody, pray it again. Baptize my mind with the love for the Word of God. The kind of love for your Word that I'm not offended by strong preaching. The kind of love for your Word that I don't have to be coddled in the church. The kind of love for your Word that I don't need sharp messages and beautiful PowerPoints to keep my attention. The kind of love for your Word that I don't care as much about pizza parties as I do about powerful demonstrations of the Spirit. A lamp and a light. Amen. I want you to begin to clap your hands, and I want you to begin to shout. Come on, I want you to begin to shout unto God. Come on, I want you to begin to shout unto God. Yeah, shout. Come on, shout with a voice of triumph unto God. Yes.